We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Action Line. Brian Barrett here with you, and it's the time that we get to catch up with our state lawmakers. We're in session. Session's going on. We have a cast of thousands here this morning. Dr. Brian Terry, state representative, joining us this morning. Also, Representatives Robert Stevens and Mike Sparks are here. Gentlemen, good morning to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. Dr. Terry, you're used to these early mornings.
Yeah.
This is actually probably a late morning for you.
Yeah. We're the ORs get started pretty early, and so I'm used to getting up early.
I guess. And more power to you. I hate it. I'd rather do anything else.
Yeah, if you're not a morning person, it's working in the OR is not for you.
You know, I worked mornings when I was in Nashville for all those years, and that was never a problem, I guess. It's just all that I do. But once I started working here, and I didn't have to get up so early, and I didn't have to drive 24, at 3:30 in the morning, I kind of became a night owl.
Yeah, and it's actually probably better for your health that you're not getting up that early.
Okay,
and
good.
Get to sleep in, and then, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that from a doctor. Robert Stevens here, too. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's always good to have you here. I see you drug up somebody who never gets up early.
Well, I got up at 6, and my grandbabies are coming over, so...
That's why you left. I understand that.
My wife's like, where are you going? She wants me to help with the grandkids.
Uh-huh. That's why you left, I'm sure, today. So, got lots to talk about this morning. I know those from the upper chamber, they must be sleeping in this morning.
Is that what they're old.
Oh, okay. Wow. You heard it here first. That was Mike Sparks, who mentioned that this morning. But Dr. Terry, maybe talk to us a little introduction about some of the things that you've been working on in the State House here.
Well, honestly, as chairman of health, a lot of the things that we end up, as a chairman, you end up having like 100, 120 bills or so that come through your committee. And so you're either trying to fix those bills or trying to dispose of those bills. And this time of year really is where people finally put their bills on notice, and that they may not be good bills, and or they're just not ready for prime time, and they just still need some more work. And so what you end up doing is, as chairman, you end up having to either break the news to them or, let them know it's not ready. But that's where this time of year is where a lot of feelings get hurt, because a lot of bad bills go by the wayside. And as I have said before, as a chairman, you're often the one that has to take the bullet for your entire committee. So you end up being the bad guy and letting people know this is not a good bill. And then you have to potentially explain that in committee, why it's not a good bill, so that everybody else, because as chairman, you spend a lot of time with the research analyst for your committee, and you spend a lot of time with the attorneys. And then, and then you get to spend some time with the AG's office and things like that. So like one of the bills that we passed, I guess yesterday had to deal with these abortion pills that are coming in. And so we've got actually two bills on that. I've got one, and the one that we passed yesterday was Representative Gino Bolso. And so his bill, when it originally came through Health Committee, so it originally had gone through Judiciary, and so they think of things from a legal aspect. But when you bring it over to the Health Committee, because it was double referred, it had a negative impact on the healthcare ecosystem. And so we had to amend it to fit what would not have negatively impacted OBGYNs or pediatricians or things like that. And then, but then when the bill got to get ready to be on the floor, there was you know, conflict of, well, judiciary thinks it ought to be like this, health thinks it ought to be like this. And so I ended up getting a meeting set up with the AG's office and the speaker's office and with Representative Bolso, and we came out with actually, I think it's going to be one of the better bills nationwide to crack down on these abortion pills. But that's, you know, some of the things that we end up doing. I've got another bill dealing with rescheduling of drugs, or scheduling of drugs. And so right now, if something goes through the FDA process and the DEA process and they put it on a schedule, you know, no longer schedule one, it's now maybe schedule two or schedule three, and so doctors can't prescribe it. Tennessee, we have a process, but where it's a delay getting that to the patients. And so it has to be further approved by the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse and by Department of Health, the commissioners, and then go through a process through our GovOps, and then eventually we'll vote on it. And so there may be a drug out there that is an alternative to opioids or something that might help prevent suicide. And here we are looking at 6 to 8 months before Tennesseans might actually get that drug. And so what my bill does, if the FDA and the DEA approve that medication, we're going to keep that medication. We're immediately going to allow our doctors to prescribe that medication. However, we have something that we call the consent calendar, where you know, they're supposedly easy bills, there's no amendments, and so it goes on the consent calendar. We'll vote for like 30 bills at one time. However, we have the opportunity, everybody has the opportunity to pull something off the consent calendar. And so essentially what we're saying is that if the DEA and the FDA approve this medication and it's gone through all this process, years of process to get to the point where they say it's good, we're going to say it's good, but we're still going to allow the mental health substance abuse commissioners to pull it off the consent calendar and put it through that process if they think it needs to be. But if otherwise, we want to make sure that these medications get to our patients as fast as possible. And I've got that coming up next week in Full Health.
Yeah, cutting a little red tape, I guess. Here.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like... being the bad man and the head of the committee, it's not always the most fun part of the job.
Well, it's what's the term? I guess if you've got a lot of people think it's a lot of power, but it comes with a lot of responsibility, and you know, a lot of times it's on you to try to determine, you know, what are the issues with the bills. And a lot of people, and therein lies the issue, is a lot of times things get out in the press and there'll be a headline and you've got this bill that does such and such, and everybody thinks, oh, that's a great bill. But then when you start, you actually know what's in the bill and you can kind of go through and look at what, you know, what the unintended consequences may be. You realize, okay, it sounds great, but it's really not doing what you think it does. It might actually do the opposite of what you think it does. And I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, we had a bill that's coming through, and the title, I can't remember the title of the bill, but it was like some sort of Parents' Rights Act of something that was going through health. But the bill actually was going to increase abortions. And the sponsor of the bill was told that, and that wasn't what the intent that the sponsor thought that it needed to be, and that bill died a quick death in the committee. I mean, there was, I don't think the bill got a motion or a second. It was because it did the opposite of what the sponsor actually thought the bill did. But I got phone calls from some folks saying, you know, this was the bill that was the greatest thing for parents ever. And then when I told them, do you know what that bill actually did? And, oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so therein lies the problem, is that sometimes bills will get out on social media or in the news, and you hear the title, or the, you know, the media can spin it one way, and that's not exactly what the bill does.
Kind of sounds like in that instance, though, the sponsor even knew.
No, the sponsor did not know what the bill
didn't.
They did not
even
know.
Even when it was on the floor, okay, yeah. Or in the committee?
Yeah, but they were told that the bill didn't do what they thought. Okay. No, it does. And I said, no, it does not do what you think it does. So that was me trying to inform them before committee, hey, your bill has problems because it doesn't do what you think it does. They didn't listen.
Oh, they went on and
it died a quick death.
Well, you know, I guess lessons learned there. Sometimes those are hard lessons, but that's interesting. I never would have thought about that. Representative Stevens, what have you been working on here this last month since we had a chance to catch up?
Well, most of my bills came from constituents that had various issues, and the one that I've been working on the most the past few weeks has been my hit-and-run bill. We had a lady whose son was hit by a driver that ran off and left him to die, and the penalty for that he got in court was 2 years of a sentence in prison, and then he also got 5 years for tampering with evidence. And he served just a fraction of his time. Thankfully, he got 5 years for serving for tampering with evidence, because if he wouldn't have gotten that, he would have gotten out in just a couple of months for this accident where he left. So we've got Jimmy's Law, which increases the penalties for people who hit and run and then leave this, you know, scene of an accident and leave somebody there injured or dying. My bill has a pretty substantial fiscal note on it of $1 million. So we're looking for ways to try to pare that back a little bit and find ways to make it a little bit more affordable, because our budget's tight this year, and I think we have found a way to do that. But the mother of this man that was killed came and testified in the committee this week and also last week about how that impacted her and why she thinks it should be stiffer penalties. And also the AAA sent a letter this week saying that they had heard about my bill and they support it, because there's just a proliferation nationwide of hit-and-run accidents. They said in 2023 it was a 15% increase in hit-and-runs.
Really?
And so I did not know that, but the Sheriff's Association is supporting my bill because they see this all the time. Apparently, it's just not much of a risk for people to leave the scene of the accident. I guess they know the penalty is not very much, or they may not get caught at all. So we have to find a way to clamp down on this and address it, especially for the families that have lost loved ones. And the defendant did not serve much time for taking that life.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because, gosh, I drive up and down Northwest Broad Street 2-3 times a day. I can't tell you the number of people that I see just dart out in front of traffic too, you know, in a high traffic but high pedestrian area. So you know, we hear about those types of accidents on Northwest Broad Street all too frequently, actually, here in Murfreesboro for sure.
Well, my bill would increase the penalty from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class E felony for someone who hits another driver and then leaves them injured.
Okay.
And it would increase it from a Class E felony to a Class D felony if there's a death involved with it. Now, that's my bill has the big fiscal note, so we think we found a way to trim it back some to make it more affordable and just address the ones that have the deaths in them. But,
yeah.
But this is just apparently becoming more and more of an issue, and we've got to figure out how to address it.
Is that always the challenge with any legislation that you want to bring forward, is the fiscal note, or if there is one, or, you know, how all of that is going to affect the state budget?
Oh, absolutely. If it comes back with a, you know, $1 million or multi-$1 million fiscal note, then it's going to be very hard to get it across the finish line unless you've got the governor's office supporting it in their budget.
Oh, okay. Well, the lessons learned there, I guess, too. So what are ways that you, I mean, do you bring information saying, well, if we do it this way, we're going to save here, so that way we can spend more here? Or, I mean, does it work that way?
We have an office called Fiscal Review, and they look at every single bill to determine what the impact's going to be to the state. Some of them come back not significant. You know, if you change the process in court, for example, that really may not affect the state's budget. But if you come in and say, we're going to add a new program, the 10-care, or we're going to, you know, add more positions in this department or whatnot, it's going to come back with a fiscal note. And the more the fiscal note is, the less likely your bill is to pass, unless you've got the governor's office supporting it. Now, you can contact Fiscal Review and dispute their numbers and ask them to reconsider. You know, there might be something that they didn't think of, or there might be new information if your bill gets amended that lowers the cost. So, you know, there are ways to try to get it down or get it to not significant, but it's not as easy as you might think.
I saw you shake your head, Dr. Terry. You've done that as a committee chair, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, to his point, there will be a bill. You have an idea, and I mean, it could be as insignificant as, I mean, maybe, you know, a $1,500 fiscal note, but that ends up going behind the budget, and they may not, I mean, even for $1,500, they may not want to fund that. But like some of the bills that we'll have that come through health or even through insurance will impact 10 care, And so what will, the way that you often get around that is, well, you exempt TennCare from the bill, and now it's private insurance, or, you know, those patients are going to be impacted. And so that's one way that some people will get rid of their fiscal note. But to your point, you know, you may show that, hey, if we do this, what we're going to do is we're going to actually save $1 million on the back end if we do this. But oftentimes our fiscal review, they just want to know the point today and how it's going to impact today's budget. 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, even though this might actually be a return on investment and may bring us in $5 million down the road, the fact that it's going to cost $1 million today means that we can't do it. And that, and this goes back to when I was saying about some stuff that goes in the news. You know, we've had, you know, Gary Hicks is our finance chairman, and then Ryan Williams is the sub-chair. And, you know, a good bill may come to them, and then they'll say, well, this is behind the budget, and they gavel it down. And then now all of a sudden, the news is that, you know, Chairman Williams or Chairman Hicks killed this great bill because they put it behind the budget. And it's like, that's just the process. You have to, we constitutionally have to pass a budget, and it has to be balanced. And so, yeah, a lot of good bills may go behind the budget until we can find the money or you can get it fixed.
We're talking with our state lawmakers this morning, Representative Mike Sparks. What have you been up to here this
past
month?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to Governor Bill Lee and Jelly Roll. They had the Men of Valor event yesterday at Music City Center. Several lawmakers were there, but you know,
we're not talking about a special donut in a box somewhere, right?
He's lost a lot of weight too. You
know? I've heard. He's That's why I call them the sugar-free Jelly Roll.
I've seen that to the day. The no, I love his testimony. You know, I mean, we're in times we're going to have to learn to do more with less. I mean, you know, our just you look at the county budget, school board budget, you look at the state budget, you look at America's budget, you know, we're bankrupt. Let's just be honest with you. But you know what I like about what Men of Valor is doing? You know, we incarcerate, our budget for TDOC is about $1.6 billion with a B. You know, this county's going to have to build a 320, some estimate it's going to be $400 million to build a jail, and we're not going to be able to build schools. That's alarming. I call those cracks in the foundation, if you will. But Men of Valor, you know, we appropriate, I believe it was it $1 million? Y'all remember? Was it $1 million last year? I think it was $1 million a year to help them. But man, they're changing men's and women's lives around. And it was so cool when the governor talked about, and there was 2,000, it's the largest crowd they ever had there and that I've ever seen. But he talked about when Jelly Roll, I guess they were advocating for that pardon for him, because having that felony was stopping him from, I think, playing at certain music venues and visiting certain places and being able to, it was just kind of holding him back, like those, you know, having a misdemeanor or a felony could do for folks.
And, well, one of the things he wanted to do was vote, I think.
Yeah, that too, you know. That too. And yeah. So the governor requested him come to the residence, and he said he had a conversation with Jelly Roll, and Jelly Roll shared with him. He said, Governor, I remember you coming to Harding Correctional Facility, which I've visited over there, took a tour years ago. He said, I remember you coming in there with Men of Valor, and he said he had was in some other area of the prison, and he asked to be moved, and the guy told him, he said, man, we got this program, there's this new program up here called Men of Valor. He says, you know, it's a Christ-centered program. He said, if you'll, you know, you could go to that. And so he started going. He says he remembered Bill Lee coming in there and kind of sharing a testimony with him. And the governor didn't know that. So the governor was sharing that he, you know, it was kind of one of the poignant moments in life. And the governor said, you know, who'd ever thought back then you're in prison, you know, and I'm just there volunteering in a jail ministry and I'm the governor and now you're Jelly Roll. But I mean, put a price on that. That's divine. I mean, anybody could, even an atheist has got to say, man, the probability of that is pretty minute. But, you know, I'm seeing a path that this country's on. It's really, it's alarming. I see where the governor and Speaker Sexton was down in Memphis with Memphis Task Force, you know, and they've done some great work, but that's, let's face it, that's unsustainable. What happens when they leave, you know? But I guess my key issue this year is, you know, trying to get that school bus bill passed. It's a workforce development bill. It's putting people back to work. Not many pieces of legislation is encouraging workforce development, at least I don't see it. Usually, like Brian said, it's scope of practice, it's people competing for business interest and all. But we passed that out, and that was really significant because, well, we hadn't paid the House floor yet, but you know, we're the most restrictive in the world, and I don't have any lobbyists with me. I don't have a bunch of taxpayer fund lobbyists. You'd think they would be if it's helping, you know, the crisis shortage of school bus drivers, if it's helping school boards, if it's helping county commission. You'd think these taxpayer funded lobbyists that we're paying for, we're paying big money for them, you know, they're making more than any lawmakers are. That's, and no reporters are covering this stuff. I mean, but anyways, we got that passed, but it's undoing both chairman's bill and the Department of Safety's bill. And oftentimes we have a knee-jerk reaction, and that's a good case study that maybe Kent Seiler or somebody at Political Science Department over at MTSU could put in a textbook of what not to do. I mean, that's the state's answer, was to solve this crisis after six children were killed in Memphis by a young man that shouldn't be driving a school bus. He was also a child rapist. They don't ever tell you that part. He raped a 14-year-old girl like 2 years later. Multiple people complained about his erratic driving. Students complained, parents complained, and sadly, it led to the death of six children. So the knee-jerk reaction was, well, let's just change age limit to 25, making us the most restrictive in the world. I mean, I can't make this stuff up, Brian. So we were able to get it changed. Now, the chairman, you know, you got to be careful. I'm undoing his bill, so I don't want to, you know, like belittle them and the committee. But he blue-lighted it, and I got Justin Pearson to vote with me. I went to Justin Pierce. I told our press secretary, I said, watch this. I'm going to go to Justin Pierce. He's going to vote for my bill. He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, Justin, I need your help, man. He looked at me. I said, both chairmen are against my bill. Department of Safety is against the bill. THP is against the bill. But the NAACP president's for it. And he said, Mike, I'll be with you. And that's how God works. I mean, the NAACP chairman or president, David Settles, just weird connectivity, just happened to invite me to their event. I just happened to invite him on the radio show. And I said, well, you want to come up to the radio tomorrow? This was last year. He says, well, what time? I said, 10:30, 11. He says, good. That'll give me time to finish my route. And I said, what do you mean route? He says, I drive a school bus. I said, you drive a school bus, dude? I just left Channel 2 doing an interview 20 minutes ago. It was the craziest thing. And so he came up to testify, but I like what he said. He testified last year, powerful testimony. He says, you know, I mean, he even drove for Antioch where the school shooting was. And he made a point. It was really a neat comment. He says, you know, I'm the first face a child sees in the morning. I'm the last face a child sees. I can improve their life, or I could you know, hurt their life. And just being encouraged. He loves what he's doing. You know, he's on the school board, Murfreesboro as well. But another angle Robert made a good point, and Brian, I've got a bill that's increasing the penalty on contraband being smuggled into penal facilities, you know, or jails and prisons, whether it's cell phones or fentanyl. And it's got a fiscal note, about $900,000. And I'm even torn on that bill. You know, I was asked to carry it, so I'm carrying it. But then I met with the mother who lost a son who left five kids behind. It's like, you know, it's, you know, you got to find that balance. It does have a fiscal note. Is it really going to stop people from smuggling fentanyl and cell phones? I don't know. That's up for debate, but I've got that bill. I'm confident it'll pass the House floor. And you know, I put in the budget $380,000 for a documentary about Japan and Tennessee coming together, and specifically Smyrna, Rutherford County, Seward Air Force Base. I think the Tennessee Japan story should be told, and it's also a story of reconciliation, forgiveness. Like I told Senator Hagerty a couple of weeks ago, I said, you think about it. He loved the idea. I said, man, we dropped two atomic bombs on that nation. Two atomic bombs, and this country is able to go to come together with them. And Tennessee has led that way. So I met with some filmmakers last week. They love the idea. They're working on a film down in Memphis, hopefully get MTSU involved, film department, Tom Neff, who started the documentary channel, and some MTSU students. To tell that story, if I don't get it funded this year, I feel confident we'll get it funded next year. The film commissioner's on board, Marsha Blackburn's on board, and some others. But, you know, I see a lot of brokenness, you know, in our culture, and I see brokenness on the county commission. Let's face it, it's broken. I see brokenness on the school board. Let's face it, it's broken too. I see it at the Tennessee General Assembly, where people got to learn to have a conversation. And some of this stuff, it's not affordable housing, not Democrat related, not Republican. Access to health care, I think Dr. Terry would agree, it's not a Republican Democrat issue. Traffic, violence, I think we lead on issues as Republicans, don't y'all agree?
Yeah.
We're more innovative, you know, we have better ideas. But every now and then, just every now and then, a Democrat has a good idea. Every now and then, I know it's a rare moment, but every now and then. So if they got a good idea, let's work with them and solve problems.
Wow. Maybe Justin's not going to be on your bill.
I do want to add something to what
I do need you, Justin, if you listen on the House floor.
Yeah, oh, I do want to add something that Mike said real quick, and then Robert actually had brought it up too. Some of the best bills that we have up there are brought by a constituent, mm-hmm. and it's you know, one action. But also, some of the worst bills that we have up there might be brought by a constituent, not just. I'm not saying my constituents, but but to that point, like what he's saying, you know, one thing may occur, and so somebody says, well, I've got to change this. Well, yeah. It may have just been some weird outlier. Happenstance, yeah. outlier, yeah. And we're going to upset the entire apple cart and create more problems. Yes. By trying to fix one thing over here
school,
for
that's
somebody,
school bus thing is a good
and that's why I was, you know. So it may be that, you know, okay, we take a step because something made the news, and then you realize after the fact that oh, here's the unintended consequences yes. that we had of that, or and it may not just be the unintended consequences. You know, we may have fixed it for a reason at one point in time, but circumstances change, and as leaders. You have to adapt to the circumstances. You know, if you're a general in the army and all or in the military, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, the weather changes or something, and but you're planning on doing, you know, whatever you know. Well, I said we were going to do this. Well, it may not work for those type of circumstances. And so, as leaders, you have to be willing to adapt. And as soon as you get new information, and so again, you know, just because we did something years ago doesn't mean it can't change yeah. today. Yeah.
From one of our texters, 4867, they said not only in terms of buses, which you were mentioning, yeah. but also the bus insurance for contractors.
Yep,
might have been one.
Well, we're really facing it, and it's just not in those areas. There's so many areas: housing, healthcare. You know, we're having reforms on the PBMs, which I'm really proud of. I mean, that's a bipartisan issue. The CVS, if you've seen all this CVS propaganda, commercials, they're spending, how much was, I heard they spent $3
million? It's well over $1 million.
I mean, they're spending a lot of money on those ads. So if you're hearing that stuff, you're inundated with television commercials, here's what you gotta do. Go talk to an independent pharmacist. Go talk to Chad Mills over there at Mills Family Pharmacy on Church Street. Just go talk to independent pharmacists and you'll get the inside scoop, if you will, yeah. on those issues.
I think they were reading more into this. They were talking about what the school bus contractors had to do this past year when they lost their countywide coverage insurance yeah. and had to go get their individual insurance because of a state law change the year before.
Well, that law had been changed back. But that, yeah. you know, one thing you've got to follow.
But are the insurance companies going to go back? I think you and I had this conversation yeah. about
well, one
that.
Thing you've got to follow. I try to look what's behind this bill. Is it huge corporations that's trying to build their network? And that's what we have to look at. And I think CVS is a good example. I mean, the audit proved it. I think the AGs, hopefully the AG will do some investigating. But they had testimony, and I brought up a scripture about unjust scales, how the Lord detests unjust scales. And even a pharmacist, who's also a pastor, agreed that the scales are not just. So that's been a big issue, and I'm proud of our speaker and others who have been advocating for reforms, which would afford more affordable access to prescription drugs.
I'm going to have the chance to get to a few of your questions this morning, but gosh, I'm so far behind. Maybe I'll get fired from ever having to come in and do the early morning again. That'd be all right with me. But we're going to take a quick break. Our good neighbor of the day today, by the way, is Kurt Catherwood, our SRM Concrete good neighbor of the day, for his work providing a healthy space and helping combat veterans get better mental and physical insurance and things of that nature, mental health care, if you will. So Kirk Catherwood, today is the recipient of a free drink of choice from 7 Brew Drive-Through Coffee in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, or Laverne as the SRM Concrete Good Neighbor of the Day. Back in a moment.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
It's time to dig through the trash the right way. Here's Rocky the Raccoon with today's Recycled Minute, courtesy of RecycleRightTN.com.
Hey neighbors, it's Rocky the Raccoon. Here's another idea on what you could do with all those plastic bottles you go through for drinking water. You could create an outdoor bowling set for the kids. You take 10 bottles or so and you fill them up with water or sand. Then you line them up in the driveway, give the kids a ball, and let them roll them right towards those water bottles. It's low-cost family fun that reuses plastic bottles and keeps little recyclers smiling. For RecycleRightTN.com, I'm Rocky the Raccoon.
And that's today's Recycled Minute with Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.
Do you want your money to work hard for you? Who doesn't? South Central Bank has two CD specials that will help your money grow. South Central Bank has a 5-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 4.15% or a 25-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 3.8%. Two great ways to put your money to work. You choose the term that works best for you. $500 minimum balance to obtain the APY. Stop at our location at 1602 West Northfield Boulevard in Georgetown Park today and take advantage of our two great rates. South Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Fresh cut greens and oven warm bread, jars of sweet jam will be red. Good food, good folks, flavors that shine from winter's chill to spring sunshine. Every Friday, feel the spark, Rutherford County Market at Lane Agri Park.
Local farmers with local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market every Friday through April.
You'll find it there from frost to boomless season. Sing the winter tough and welcoming spring. So bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant. With cold and flu season here, nothing helps my family more than having the Demas's baked chicken and rice soup. It was a soup that was created by my grandmother, and we not only sell it by the cup, but we also sell it by the quart, by the half gallon, and by the gallon. So stop by anytime today and bring soup to your family that may be sick or a friend that's been sick, or just to enjoy it just because it tastes so good. Demas's Restaurant.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're back in our final few moments here on the Action Line. We've got State Representative Dr. Brian Terry, Representative Robert Stevens, and Representative Mike Sparks here. A few of the questions on the text. I jotted down... I actually had the chance to have a conversation this past Wednesday with County Mayor Joe Carr. He was here on some of the other shows this week, some of our other local lawmakers, and this came up a couple of times. And the particular question deals with what we've heard a lot about housing state inmates, the need for a $400 million jail, and part of that being, I think the perception in the public is, we're housing so many state inmates in Rutherford County, we have to build a local jail to house state inmates.
I don't know the details on that either,
but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But we are, these are two things that are going on.
Yep.
You know, but they... kind of get interrelated. So maybe anything on the messaging on housing state inmates? I think it's like $20-$30 a day that more than what the county is getting reimbursed from the state. Is that going to go up? Probably not in a budget year that's tight. I don't know. So well, anybody I'll, wants to comment
I'll
on that?
The county commission can solve it because that problem was going on. You know, when I was on the county commission years ago, I mean, I think groups like Men of Valor, I think faith-based groups, there's a group out of Knoxville called Persevere. You know, I was talking to Kenneth Barrett running for sheriff and asking him what his thoughts are. And, you know, he seems to be very open to helping with addiction. And let's face it, a lot of those guys in there, it's addiction, it's alcoholism. And it goes back deeper, goes back to a lot of trauma in folks' lives. And you know, Brian and I were just talking to Robert just now on some of these protesters and some of the craziness. I'd argue a lot of that's mental health. So let's get to the let's invest on the front end so we're not paying $48,000 on the back end. A new prison. I asked TDOC commissioner here in finance. I served on finance about 2 months ago. How much is a new prison gonna cost? He didn't have the answer. I'm not trying to put the guy down, but I would think, man, if you're commissioner of TDOC, you better have an answer for a new prison, because we're going to have to fund it. And so these social issues are growing, and they're not going away. And I'd encourage the county commission to leverage the Chamber of Commerce, leverage a faith-based group, and leverage other people who are experts in these fields, because there's no county commissioner as an expert on building a jail or therapy or counseling.
I'm not so sure that the messaging isn't being leveraged, though, to say, well, we're housing state inmates. If we didn't have the state inmates, maybe we wouldn't need to build a jail.
Well, you got to work with folks, and that's the one reason I like this documentary about Japan and Tennessee coming together, because if anybody worked for the Japanese like I did, there's a term called Kaizen, constant and never-ending improvement. One thing about the Japanese, man, they hardly waste anything. Everything's efficient, and that's why they're kicking our butts when it comes to quality. I mean, you can't beat a Lexus. You can't beat a Honda. I mean, Nissan's had their challenges, but I'd still put them up against a GM, or a Ford product. But we got to start being smarter in how we look at things and leverage MTSU. We got the largest university over here. We've got some smart people that we ought to leverage their time and talent.
Representative Stevens, we're getting very close to the end of session. Things that you hope to accomplish, what do you think is going to happen these last few weeks?
Well, we're here and we're going to be out by mid to late April, and we'll hopefully have a good, solid, balanced budget that we pass that funds all of our needs. A few things I'm going to be pushing to get across the finish line right here near the end of session are dealing with our teacher crisis. We have a shortage of teachers. Part of that is not enough coming into the system, but the other part is teachers retiring that might want to stay longer, but they have issues in the classroom with behavior and all kinds of reasons why they're getting out early. But I have a bill that came from our school board that would allow individuals from private schools that may not have an accredited four-year degree, if they've been a private school teacher for 10 years, it would allow them to get a teaching waiver so that they could fill a position in a public school. We had some teachers that worked at a private school for 30 some odd years, and they could not find their college records, and the college that they attended was defunct, and they couldn't prove they had a valid four-year degree. So they were denied a teaching license. And so there are people around the state, apparently, that have similar problems, and so this bill would address that and let the Department of Education issue a waiver to those individuals so that they could fill a classroom. And then Senator White and I have a bill that will deal with student teachers that would let them become a teacher of record if there's a vacancy in their year of student teaching, but then they would actually become the paid teacher for that classroom and have a mentor, of course, watching them. So just some little practical steps to help fill some of the vacancies that might happen in our school system.
That's a great idea. Representative Terry, anything about the end of the session coming up here soon?
Yeah, I have a bill, a respiratory therapist interstate compact, and that's actually Department of War is actually supporting that as well, because a lot of the military families members have their respiratory therapists, and so it's to help with the workforce for that. And then the Nurses Association, I'm carrying a bill for them, a nursing integrity Education Integrity Act, and what that's about is, you know, we have a fixed number of clinical sites in the state for nurses, but you're seeing a lot of these pop-up online nursing programs, and it's just, you know, we want to ensure that we're filling our clinical sites with people that are actually qualified. And so it's a patient safety, but we want to make sure that when we get our nurses out, that they're actually prepared. And so we're going to look at that as well.
Very good. I feel like you're the one that would get kids in trouble by passing notes in class.
Well,
you keep passing me your phone, and I'm trying to listen to Dr. Terry here, and you're going to get me in trouble with the teacher.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the family of Trey and Lance Lee, Kim Epps Lee. Their mother passed away. Yeah. I believe it was yesterday. So sorry for their loss. A lot of folks know. Betty Sandlin Lee, she passed away yesterday.
All right. Well, very good. Appreciate you guys coming in this morning on, Fridays are typically your day to do other things, and we appreciate you spending some time with everybody listening this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Our friends from the state legislature, your state lawmakers here this morning, Dr. Brian Terry, State Representative Robert Stevens, and Representative Mike Sparks on the air this morning. And thank you for listening in. If you missed part of the program, the podcast will be up shortly at WGNSradio.com under Action Line. I'm Brian Barrett. Have a great day, everybody, and a great weekend. See you next time.